turns out to be a rebellious son? What if he becomes so rebellious that all the joy that I feel over his birth just evaporates and goes out the window? What if he becomes so rebellious that I no longer have any joy in him being my son, but I find myself saying, you know, I wish that this son had never been born? What if? You know, there are a lot of parents tonight who, if they were completely candid, completely honest, if they could state without any fear the innermost feelings that lie deep in their hearts, this is what they'd say. They'd say, you know, if I had to do it all over, I'm not sure I'd have children. It's not worth it. They'd say, all the joy that I had over that son, that daughter being born, went right out the window back several years ago. And now, I'm talking about if parents could be brutally honest about their innermost feelings. Many of them would say, yes, my life would be a lot easier if that child had never been born. And I know a lot of young married couples, I've met a lot over the years, who have said, we're not going to have children. And inquire a bit about that. Why is it that you're not going to have children? And time the answer comes back. Well, we just see so many rebellious kids today that we just don't want to take the chance that our son, our daughter, will rebel and break our hearts. If we could know for a surety that the children that we bring into this world would be a joy to us and a delight to us, we'd like to have children. But the risk is just too great. There are so many rebellious kids today. We just don't want to take the chance. And so this is a burden that is very prominent, very prevalent in our society. And yes, it's prevalent among Christian people can have rebellious children. Christian people can say, I wish this son of mine, this daughter of mine, had never been born. Christian couples can be saying, we're not going to launch out onto the sea of parenting. It's just too much. There are Christian people tonight who are saying, the happiness that I once had has just melted away. I don't feel that happiness anymore. It's all gone. It may be drinking. It may be drug usage. It may be running with the wrong crowd. It may be filthy language. It may be sexual immorality. It may be lying and stealing. It may be staying out of church. It may be blowing up every time dad or mom offers a word of correction or instruction. Or it may be a combination of all of the above. Every parent knows the anguish of his own heart. Well, there's good news for parents who have such anguish, and that good news is that there's help in the Bible. There are several passages in the Word of God that deal with this matter of child rearing, but no book has more to say about it than this book of Proverbs. A lot here, as I've already said, about the matter of child rearing, about the matter of parenting. Now, it's not concentrated in the book of Proverbs. It's just kind of sprinkled throughout the book. But when you put it all together, there is indeed quite a bit here. And so tonight we delve into this book of Proverbs to see what we can learn about this very challenging business of parenting. And I want to divide for you my remarks tonight into three parts, or into two parts, and say to you that I'm not sure that I'll get through with this message tonight. If I don't, we'll just come back to it next Sunday evening and finish it up. But I want to divide the message into two parts. And first of all, I want to talk to you about what Solomon has to say here for to children. We have, first of all, some words here for children. And then secondly, Solomon has some words to say here to parents. So those are the two major divisions. Let me assure you tonight that I don't know everything that there is to know about parenting. Let me say to you that I feel a lot better being on this side of it than I did a few years ago. I don't have as many apprehensions about it now as I once did. Let me tell you that you can ask me questions about how to deal with children that I can't answer. I do have one escape hatch. When anybody asks me a difficult question about parenting, I always say, well, you probably ought to talk to Sylvia about that. She's pretty smart. And so you can ask me a lot of questions I can't answer about parenting. I don't stand before you this evening as an expert on parenting. I don't stand before you as a perfect dad. I don't stand before you as one who has all the answers about this very crucial and challenging matter. But I stood a pastor who cares deeply about his church, cares deeply about the parents of this church. And as I've said to you teenagers 1,000 times, this pastor cares very deeply about you. And I stand before you as one who has studied the Word of God for a great number of years now, one who believes that this Word of God is a very practical word, and that it has the principles in it and the guidance in it that we need, and that it is the proper authority for life. I'm telling you that I don't care what the other kids in school are doing, the Bible is the proper authority for your life. I'm telling you I don't care what the latest opinion poll says, I don't care what's on MTV, the Bible is the proper authority for your life. And you will either discover that to your blessing and benefit and joy in this life, or you will ignore it and bring ruin and damage upon yourself and discover it later in eternity, perhaps. But you'll discover it sooner or later. The Bible is the proper authority for living. And so I'm here tonight not because I consider myself to be an expert, not because I'm the perfect dad. But I'm here tonight, stand before you tonight as one who believes this Bible is the authority, it's God's Word, and I'm here to simply try to lay before you the teachings of this Word from God. Now, first of all, I've divided my sermon into two parts, and I've said, first of all, I want to talk to you about what Solomon has to say about children. And I want you to understand that Solomon's not very complimentary here about rebellious children. You look down there in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 21, and he says, "The father of a fool has no joy." Very uncomplimentary language. But that is essentially what Solomon calls the rebellious son, the rebellious daughter. He says, "You're a fool." He doesn't say you've been mistreated. He doesn't say you've been misunderstood. He says, "You are a fool." That's his term. Now, when you read that word fool, you want to know, I should think, what that means. There are actually three words in the book of Proverbs that our English Bibles translate as fool. And the most common word is a word K-E-S-I-L. That's how we transliterate this word. It's a Hebrew word. And this word refers to one who makes choices on the basis of what provides immediate pleasure. Did you all get that? I'm so glad I got you young people right up here where I can look you in the eye tonight. And just, you know, look you eyeball to eyeball and talk to you heart to heart. This is the word that Solomon uses most frequently here in the book of Proverbs. It's the word kesil, K-E-S-I-L. That's how we transliterate it. And it's translated fool, and it describes one who makes choices on the basis of what gives immediate pleasure. Oh my, it's almost like reading today's newspaper, isn't it? How many people, and young people, I don't intend to pick on you tonight, I have to say that our young people are not the only ones making choices on the basis of what provides immediate pleasure. There are a lot of adults doing that as well. There's another Hebrew word, which is the word ewil. It's E-W-I-L. It's very close to the word that I just talked about, and but it goes to a different degree. It's someone who's even worse. This word ewil stresses spiritual and moral stupidity. And I just underscore that word stupidity. People who make stupid choices in life. The Bible translates that with the word fool. And then there's the word Nabal, N-A-B-A-L, which carries the idea of insensitivity to the things of God, moral apathy, and rejecting what is reasonable. Now, I want to greatly today, and I see this among our teenagers, and I see it among parents as well, people rejecting what is reasonable. They know that this course of action is reasonable. It makes sense. They know it's right. They know it will bring good to them, and yet they reject it. My friends, adults, young people, hear what the Bible has to say about someone who has clearly laid out before him what's reasonable. He knows what's right. He knows he ought to do that, and he rejects that. Hear what the Bible has to say about this. The Bible says that person is a fool. And my friends, this is, to me, very powerful, just the three words that we have here. A person who makes his choices on the basis of immediate pleasure. A person who is morally stupid in making his choices. A person who rejects what is reasonable in making his choices. Solomon says that person is a fool. Well, let me try to gather up all the loose ends here of what Solomon says to young people and put them to you in the form of some principles. And I don't really have much to say tonight to our young people. I do want to say, under this heading, first division of the sermon now, some words for young people, words for children, if you please. Under that heading, I do want to say something that you already know, all of you young people. And I'm talking primarily to you Christian young people this evening. And that is that God commands you to respect your parents. And what that involves in your younger years is this. It involves listening to their instructions, and it involves obeying them. Now, if you have your book of Proverbs there in front of you, I want to just walk through some verses with you. And I have, I like colors in my Bible, so I've highlighted all these verses in my Bible. Go back to Proverbs chapter 1. I'm telling you now that the Bible commands that children respect their parents, and this involves, somebody says, what does it mean to respect my parents? It involves heeding their instructions, listening to their instructions, and obeying them. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, where Solomon says, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. And then look at Proverbs chapter 2, and verse 1, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, then he says down there in verse 5, you will understand the fear of the Lord. But look at what he says. He says, receive my words, treasure my commands. Look at Proverbs 3:1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Let your heart keep my commands. He says, do this from your heart. Don't you have a heart of love for your parents? Isn't there any love there at all? Then he says, do this from your heart, out of love for your parents. Keep my commands. Verse 7 of chapter 3 might be more appropriate than we realize. It says, be not wise in your own eyes. A lot of times the reason we won't listen to instruction is because we think we know so much. Amen? Applies to adults and youth as well. We think we know so much. You think you know everything. There's no room for instruction, is there? No one can tell you anything, even God. Chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. Verse 20 of chapter 4, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them." Chapter 5, verse 1, "My son, pay attention to my wisdom." Chapter 6, verse 20, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother." Chapter 7, verse 1, "My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you." And so it goes throughout the book of Proverbs. Here is what the scripture says. Children are to respect their parents, and respecting parents means that we listen to their instructions and we obey them. Now I have something else to say under this heading here of words for young people. And that is this: refusal to obey your parents creates terrible consequences. And you all need to be aware of that. Let me just cite for you this evening some of the consequences that flow from a refusal to obey your parents. One thing is, it will cause others to lose their respect for you. I'm looking back here at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 9 now. And I see where Solomon says that the commands, the instructions of the father and the law of the mother will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. I mean to tell you, we like chains and ornaments today, and we've got doodads here and doodads there, and we're about the most ornamental group of people who've ever lived. Well, here's an ornament for you. Solomon says, "The instruction of your father and the law of your mother is like a graceful ornament on your head." What's he saying there? I think he's saying that the child who follows his parents' instructions will become a graceful person. Ornaments make us more lovely, we think. And what Solomon is saying here is that if you heed the instructions of your parents, you will become a more appealing, a more lovely person. You will be a graceful person who will be respected by others. But of course, if you don't heed the instructions of your parents, then of course that's not going to be true of you. I'm just talking now about what happens, the damage that comes from refusing to obey your parents. I've said it causes others to lose respect for you. Secondly, I want to say that it brings grief to the ones to whom you owe so very much. It brings grief. If you refuse to respect your parents, it brings grief to their hearts. And these are the ones to whom you owe so very much. And this is a very prominent theme here in the book of Proverbs. You go over there to chapter 10. We found it already in chapter 17 of this book. But there in chapter 10, verse 1, Solomon says, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother." And it continues from that point right on through chapter 17 that we looked at a moment ago. There's a verse in chapter 15, verse 20, that says, "A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother." You get over into chapter 19, "A foolish son is the ruin of his father and the contentions of a wife." Oops, we better leave this out. The contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. Look at verse 26 of chapter 19. "He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach." And on and on it goes throughout this book of Proverbs. There's verse after verse here that says, if you refuse to obey your parents, you bring grief to these people to whom you owe so very much. Now, you know, I just didn't have any desire to bring grief to my parents. I mean, my parents sacrificed for me. They loved me. They worked hard. And I always wanted them to be proud of me. And I should think that you would feel the same about your parents. Let me just call your attention to something else here that happens if you refuse to respect your parents. And that is that it may bring calamity upon you in the form of ill health, in the form of trouble with the law, or even in the form of an early grave. refusing to respect your parents can bring this kind of calamity upon young people. One of the interesting things to me about this book of Proverbs is how often we're told how often these two things are connected: the instructions of the parents and life and health of the children. You have verses that say, "Heed what your parents say to you, for this is life. Their words are life." What's he saying anyway? Well, he's saying that by heeding the words of your parents, you can avoid calamity. And that's something that we certainly need to be aware of today. And then I would just say that if you if you refuse to listen to your parents, it may very well bring calamity upon you in the form of your own children someday. Somebody said one time, God gets even with rebellious kids. He makes them parents. I love that. And there is in the Bible a law of sowing and reaping, my friends. And the Bible says, what you sow is what you're going to reap. And if you refuse to respect your parents, God can bring calamity upon you by giving you the same kind of children, the same kind of child that you have been. That's something to keep in mind. And then finally, on this matter of what happens as a result of refusing to obey your parents, I would just say that this can bring regret and guilt later on in your life. Now, my precious young friends, I want you to know that I've been pastoring since I was 16 years of age, practically without any let up. And I have been in many funeral homes. I've been with many families when they came to the funeral home to view the loved one for the first time. And I've seen a lot and I've heard a lot. I want to tell you something that I've never heard in a funeral home. Okay? Seen a lot of children lose their parents. My parents are gone now. My dad died in 85. Mom died in 92. I've been with a lot of people who lost their parents. And I want to tell you one thing I've never heard in a funeral home. I've never heard someone say, "You know, I just regret that I was such a good kid. I just regret that I was an obedient child. I wish that I had caused my dad and mom to pull their hair out." Never heard that. But I'll tell you one thing I have heard over and over. If I had to do it over, if I had my dad back, if I had my mom back, I'd be a better child. I'd like to just have dad here for just a minute to tell him how much I love him. I'd like to have mom here for just a minute to tell her how much I love her. My friends, don't live now in such a way that you'll bring regrets later in your life. Well, that's half the sermon, and I'm already out of time. So next Sunday night, I'll continue with some words for parents. And this part of the message is going to be divided into two additional points. I want to, next Sunday evening, just give you parents some practical tips for preventing a wayward child. My mother used to say, she said it so many times that I thought it was in the scripture, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And and young people, you can come back next week. I promise I won't pick on you very much. I'm going to pick on parents. And I've got much more to say to parents than I've had to say to you young people. But the first thing I wanted to cover next Sunday night is tips for preventing a wayward child. And all my friends, listen to me, young parents with young children. What you're doing right now is so absolutely crucial. I know some parents who say, "Well, I just worry about whenever my kids get to be teenagers." You better be concerned now. What you're doing now, so very crucial. And then the second part of the message next week will be tips for dealing with a wayward child. And notice the word tips. I heard about the other night a preacher who, fresh out of seminary, went to a church, and he hadn't been there very long before he preached a sermon, How to Raise Children. And then after he and his wife had been there for a couple of years, they had a child. And so he preached another sermon sometime later called Suggestions for Child Rearing. And then they had more children. And so after he'd been there about as long as I've been here at Emmanuel, he preached a sermon on hints on child rearing. And so, please hear me. Next Sunday night, the Lord willing, I'm going to have tips, okay, on how to prevent a wayward child, and then tips on how to deal with a wayward child. But oh, tonight, you young people would do yourselves and your parents a marvelous service if you were to just if you were to make this determination tonight. I'm going to love and respect my parents. I'm not going to bring them grief and heartache. Parents aren't always right, but by far the majority of parents have your best interest at heart. And you would do yourself a great service, and them too, if you would just say, I'm going to make sure that I'm not a rebellious child.